Good morning. Welcome back to the cloud, session. I didn't know that they would play a video of my home country. So I'm Italian, so I can talk to Parmigiano Reggiano. So what I will do over the next 50 minutes, together with my colleagues Robert LeBlanc and Tom Rosamilia, is take you through our progress on cloud. I will address three fundamental statements. First, cloud is reshaping enterprise IT, as Ginny had been saying, and it's more and more becoming the source of innovation. It's not just a mere cost point. Second, there's tremendous value for IBM to help customers securely integrate these hybrid environments that are going to be with them for a long time. Third, we have built up a portfolio of capabilities and technologies across every layer of the cloud value proposition that positions us very well for this opportunity. Let me quickly talk to the opportunity. What is driving the massive cloud growth is social, analytics, and mobile that are entering the enterprise. And this is true both for spend within the firewall, so private cloud, so that's technologies, base technologies, and foundational capabilities that Tom is going to go in more in detail, and also the as-a-service components, which Robert and I are going to cover. We agree with Gartner, 70% of the enterprises are already moving to until 2015. Most of the software is being built for cloud environments, and there is more to come. There's more innovation to come when Tom is going to talk about open standards, the capability of software-defined environments, and you heard us talk about software-defined storage today. When you see those benefits, then for sure there is going to be a lot more investment. We have been on this for a long time. We have accelerated lately. What you see here are the achievements or the investments that we have done over time that Ginny was referring to. Massive investments in acquisitions, more than 100 SaaS offerings, real big internal development investment in cloud patents and in expertise, and we are well on our way to the $7 billion we committed till 2015. The growth rates are very strong. We have built up a $2 billion run rate delivered as a service. Last year, we accelerated the as-a-service movement. SoftLayer is a foundational acquisition for us. I will talk more about this crown jewel that helps us get a global footprint, a highly differentiated offerings that you also can see in the demos, in the booths that we have out there. This year, acceleration, January, a commitment of $1.2 billion to cover the globe with data centers to have the right footprint. Platform as a service. Ginny talked about the move of middleware to the cloud. Why is this so important? It is important, on the one hand, for the composable environments, and Robert is going to talk to you about the benefits of these composable services in Bluemix. But it's also very, very powerful to take stacks of middleware and to be able to deploy them as patterns. You can see in the booth automation that allows us to deploy basically any 200 software patterns and more to come in a cloud within 6 to 9 hours. You have a fully operational production environment in the cloud. So very, very significant benefits. We continue to put technology out into the cloud, Power 8, SoftLayer support for Power 8, and there is more to come. There are services to come. So we are on a role here. Now, before we go to the capabilities portfolio, I wanted to touch a little bit more deeply what Ginny talked about when she talked about these hybrid environments and what is actually what we see happening inside our clients. There are systems of record. Think about those as transactional systems. Think about it as inventory systems, claim processing systems for insurance, and obviously, those are going to be, those are being optimized with cloud technology behind the firewall. There are many reasons for those systems to stay where they are. Data placement, regulation, there are sensitivities around those systems, and they are continuously being optimized. If we have 10-year outsourcing agreements, we have 10-year outsourcing agreements because we innovate in that space and we continue to deliver value for that space. There's a lot of spend there. Now, the systems of engagements, the systems that you have seen Bob Picciano allude to, the systems that capture data, the mobility has completely new cycles, is out there, systems of engagements that are fast, ubiquitous, and that need to be connected to capture the real value. If you do sentiment analysis, last year we showed you an example of sentiment analysis on stage that connected data from the internet, structured and unstructured, to the structured data behind the firewall. Think about a mobile claim filing that updates directly an insurer's backend. So these systems are existing in the enterprise, are coexisting, and this is what drives the investment. Let me give you an example. UniCredit. We signed a long-term partnership last year to optimize the systems of record in 22 countries where they had expanded. They had expanded by acquisition. They needed to optimize them, create private clouds, and then being able to extend mobility and analytics and to connect both. Long-term relationships. NiSource, another example. The Hartford. Nearly every enterprise engagement today circles around these value propositions. Now, I want to talk about table stakes. Data placement is paramount. It's paramount because it defines the viability of an in-cloud operation, but it also defines a lot of the cost. There has been a lot of press around the downtake of processing cost and storage cost in the cloud. That's one component. It follows the technology cycle. It follows the benefits of virtualization. But data movement, data placement, the amount of data management that you can put around, that's the real differentiator. We think we have a highly differentiated option here. Next, security. Security is non-negotiable. The expectation is you apply the same rigor to data handling and security and access, auditability and control as you would do in an in-house environment. Here too, clouds cannot be opaque. Clouds need to allow for full visibility and control and auditability. Next, innovation. Enterprise want to use the cloud-enabled business services to reinvent. Now, cloud more than before brings together different buyer groups. IT managers looking for self-optimization in the environments. Developers looking for platforms that allow them quick operation, lines of business that look for ready-made services. We have built up capability to help clients think through their strategy, build on our technologies if they want to build in-house, or directly tap into it. That is what we are looking at when we talk about our set of capabilities. I will cover the infrastructure as a service piece, talking about the capabilities there to be delivered as a service. Tom will later address the foundational technologies that go into that area. And Robert is going to cover platform and software as a service. So let's dive into SoftLayer for a minute. We often get the question of what is so different about SoftLayer. What did you find in SoftLayer? Lance is here. He designed and invented the system. But let me tell you what's so different. It was designed from the ground up to be fully visible and full in control. Usually when you talk about clouds, the definition is infrastructure as a service delivered over the network and built by consumption. There are two or three very different, very important differentiators. SoftLayer can do all that. Software can do all that. But software can on top give you dedicated servers. It can give you virtualized single-tenant servers. And it can give you virtualized multi-tenant servers. What you usually get is only virtualized multi-tenant. Now, that capability, bare metal, private cloud, and virtual server instances can cover many more workloads. Second differentiator, the built-in network. The built-in network, first, huge capacity. Remember the data cost discussion. Second, the capability to isolate public, private network, and separate management network. And third, the complete visibility of every element. What does that translate into? Performance. Performance. Unparalleled performance on high I/O intensive workloads, whether this is messaging on the network or whether this is analytics data. Second, flexibility. You can combine all those variabilities in an enterprise workload. The third is control. The fact that you can see every single element in real time, know where your data sits, who accesses it, you can control, you can map the entire security policy of an enterprise into the system. That is what gives this kind of performance and makes it the ideal platform for the enterprise. There are many. So first, we are driving software usage into our outsourcing install base for sure, but we also get to entire new workload classes and entire new client bases. Kulu, real-time gaming. I don't know how many of you are into real-time gaming. There is a billion gamers out there, 130 million and more work on software, blasting speed in the network, blasting speed in I/O. Loft Group goes global out of Australia, immediately global, sitting on the software distribution network. Technicolor provides infrastructure for large, complex Internet of Things infrastructures. So equipped for big data. So it was only logical for us to create the footprint. We talked about data. Data placement has become important for viability. It has become important also for regulation. So the ability to cover, to give data location, doesn't give us only low latency, but it also allows us to support the requirements of our most important customer sets. In the last years, I talked about cloud-managed services. I talked about SCE Plus, so Smart Cloud Enterprise Plus. CMS is the new name. We have connected those data centers on that powerful backbone. So at this point, we can offer an enterprise anything from self-service to fully managed. We can map systems of engagement and systems of record. So this really is behind our rollout. We are going to be in 5 continents by the end of the year. We are going to go to Africa next year. We have options here in terms of high availability disaster recovery that are unparalleled. Now, before I hand over to Robert, let me close with 3 considerations on the infrastructure. First, we think we have a highly differentiated offering. Second, enterprises are going to take advantage to innovate and get to the agility and speed, but also to the cost benefits of cloud. And third, this distribution network is a very powerful network for the value that Robert is going to place on top of it. And with that, Robert, hand over to you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Okay, now what I want to talk about is a little bit about what we're doing here around platform as a service, and then talk a little bit about software as a service. Platform as a service is really starting to evolve. Think of that as taking these middleware services that have been on-prem and now exposing them on the cloud. Because as you build out these cloud applications, whether they be systems of engagement or systems of record, you still need the same kinds of services to be able to build the application. If you don't provide those set of services, then the programmer is left to their own device and they're having to code down to the low level. So earlier this year, we announced Bluemix. That is our platform as a service. Our goal is very simple. We want to make it easy for clients to build their next generation applications, whether they're building the front-end system of engagement, connecting to the back-end system of record. We are going to push all of our middleware, our market-leading middleware services, out to the cloud. So that makes it easy for clients to build these applications on-prem or build them out in the cloud because they're a consistent set of services and driven by what you've seen and what we've done with WebSphere. We really want to enable that kind of engagement system to be connected to the back-end record. And being able to enable that level of integration is critical. Even if I'm building a mobile application, unless I'm building Angry Birds, I'm probably going to have access to the back-end information, the back-end data, the transaction systems, the order entry systems, to be able to build that total experience for the client. So being able to connect the mobile cloud to the back end is absolutely critical. And that's what we focused in on. We also built it on open standards. So unlike some of the platforms that are out there, we built it on Cloud Foundry. And we're one of the founding members of Cloud Foundry and very active in that community. The reason we want to do that is as I build out these services, we want to enable these services to run on multiple clouds. We want to enable clients to mix and match these services that best meet the requirements of the systems that they're building so that they can get services from Bluemix but also can connect to services that may be provided by someone else on another cloud. But we're focused in on a couple of things. We're focused in on mobile. Almost all of the people that are coming onto our Bluemix environment are approaching it from mobile. So this notion of mobile first is really critical. The highest use services we have on that Bluemix platform right now are typically the mobile services that we provide. Second, and really important, is DevOps. And what is DevOps? DevOps is really the combination that allows you to build these next generation systems and applications and deploy them very, very quickly. Because in the old age, when I'm building systems for the enterprise, I would literally take months and months and months to build those out. When you move to the world of cloud and the world of mobile, speed is critical. Just think about how many times you all update the applications that are sitting on your mobile devices. So you've got to rethink the whole agile DevOps. So we spend a lot of time really focused in on what is that experience that the developer has to go through to compose these services together and then deploy out. We've also focused on big data and analytics, and Bob alluded to it, and Mike alluded to it. So we're taking our big data and analytics capability and the Watson capability, and we're exposing that out on Bluemix. What that'll enable do is the next generation of programmers to now take advantage of all of that capability, because it's now available out on the cloud. Now, what's really important is you've got to have a really good, strong ecosystem. So we announced Bluemix at the end of February, and we already have a very strong portfolio of partner services that are available on Bluemix and available on SoftLayer. We want to build an open ecosystem. We recognize that we can't build every service that's required for all of the various applications that clients want to build, but what we can do is we can build an unbelievably strong ecosystem where they can take advantage of the platform that we've built and expose their services so that the programmers now can start to compose these next generation systems, connect them to their systems of record in record time. Now, we know how to rally developers. If you think back to the day of the web, and we introduced WebSphere, and the whole notion around WebSphere, and it was the notion of how do I connect people that are building these web applications and browsers to all of these back-end systems. We were able to rally the programmers. We've got over 4 million programmers that are members in our Developer Works program today. We know how to get to the programmers, and that's what we're focused in on. We are putting Bluemix and the capability in all of our innovation centers around the world. We've also announced a partnership with Galvanize, and we have something called Bluemix Garage. and we announced the first one in San Francisco. We're putting Bluemix, making it available to 200 startups in San Francisco. We are putting resources there to help them so that the programmers of the startups can focus in on their great ideas, not building out all of the structure that's required to build a truly enterprise-scale application. We've partnered with a lot of universities around the world, and we've got over 1,000 startups as part of our global entrepreneurship program. So we're going not only after the enterprise programmer, which is important, but we're also going after the next generation businesses. When you think software as a service, think of that as I want a capability. It may be human resources, it could be market management, and what I don't want to do is I don't necessarily want to put it and install it on-prem and configure. I just want the service, and I want it very, very quickly. We have over 100 SaaS offerings in our portfolio today. In fact, if you look back at most of the acquisitions that we've made, most of these the acquisitions recently have had a SaaS component, if not totally SaaS. And we are starting to build out quite a broad portfolio of capability. So for the human resources manager, we acquired Conexa. Sika has already got on top of Conexa. They rolled out a total talent management set of capabilities across 30 countries. That would have literally taken them years to roll it out. Because it's out on the cloud, they were able to roll it out globally in Sika in a matter of months instead of years. You see, Virgin Atlantic. They use our marketing center capability up on the cloud. They now know and can tell you whether a marketing campaign is working. They can monitor their website when they put out a campaign, and they can tell whether that campaign is working. That enables them to change the campaign very, very quickly rather than waiting until I get my quarterly results. Is that campaign working? Oh, I've got to change. Now they can do it in real time. So these are a couple of examples where some of these market-leading SaaS, you know, applications that we're putting out there are helping clients change the processes. Because you'll notice that most of SaaS is also focused in on critical business processes, whether they be human resources, sales, finance, marketing. And for us, that's all lift. Because we haven't been in that space, as we acquire and move into that, that provides a whole lift to our side of the business. Now, the other advantage that we've got is we take these SaaS solutions and working very closely with our GBS team, we can bring additional value. We can help personalize the offering for the client. We can help bring assets and patterns. We can take our intellectual knowledge of the business process, and we can help the client really personalize that offering or really provide them with a total solution, not only the SaaS, but all of the intellectual understanding we've got around business processes. And here's just four examples of things that we've been able to do with clients, helping them, you know, put their customer analytics, base it on a service and put it out on the cloud. A telecom company, they doubled their campaign response and reduced customer churn by 20%. And you know, in the telco business, churn is always a big concern. You know, we see customer marketing MDM, a healthcare company, improves their margins and shifts customers and shifts the product mix. All because they can go out and get that capability out on the cloud with our SaaS offerings, but also bring in all of the expertise we have. So the notion of, oh, I don't need all of this services because I'm just going to go out to the cloud can provide you the instantiation very quickly and the ability on how to do it. You still need all of that knowledge to put it together in a way that adds value to the business. Now, when we look at the investment that we make, we span everywhere from create. So with SoftLayer and some of their bare metal capability, you can take a license. You can take a software license, and you can move it, and you can run it on top of bare metal. Some of the other providers, you can't do that. We also introduced a notion of software patterns that we put on SoftLayer. And that enables you to take a software pattern where I have a database. Say I've got DB2, I've got the WebSphere application server, I might have messaging, and I have an application pattern. What we've done is we've taken those common application patterns and we have put them down on SoftLayer. What that does enables the clients to move their application from on-prem to the cloud or build out to the cloud and move them back on-prem very, very easy because they're a common set of patterns. Because an application doesn't know where it's running for the most part. So if you do these patterns, you really have the ability to move back and forth. I've already talked about Bluemix. Bluemix is really there to enable the next generation. Bring your idea to the platform. You're not going to spend all of your time building out the services or building out and configuring the environment. You really are able to go and focus in on how do I script together these new ideas and bring forward the next generation. And then, of course, there's all of the front and back office applications. So everything from bring your license all the way to bring your customer. Pretty broad set of capabilities here in the PaaS and SaaS. Now, what we've also done is we announced something called the Cloud Marketplace. What we were trying to do is create a buying experience for the client. And remember, the client is not just one thing. I've got business people that are looking for all of the business applications that sit on the cloud. I have developers who are looking for, hey, what are the cool services? What could I do? How can I build that next generation application? And then I've got operations people. They're the people that, hey, my job used to be easy. I had to manage everything that was on-prem within the four walls. Now I'm having to manage end-to-end. And when you start to think about hybrid cloud and you start to think about security and visibility and control and all of the things that I need to worry about as an operations guy, there's information there and capability that I need. I like to think of this as a digital front door to cloud innovation. So this enables you to come in from the front and get access to all that we have in IBM, but also all that the third parties have. We're trying to leverage that ecosystem, but what's more important is we're curating the content. Okay, so it is very content rich. Just saying here's a service and not telling me how to use it, how to build on it is not good enough. You've got to bring very, very strong curated content. So now there's a place where I can bring that curated content because it's very simple. What we're trying to do is allow customers to discover easy, to try, and that try may be a trial, it could be a demo. We want to make it easy for them to buy, and we want to make it easy for them to deploy these services. So now with the cloud marketplace, we've got one place where clients can come, whether you're a developer or a line of business, get access to the information, understand what you got to do, and go everything from discover all the way to buy. So we think providing that capability will give them, make it much easier for them to accelerate, you know, their movement into the cloud, whether they're coming at it from the low end, iSaaS, all the way up to business processes as a service. But, you know, no cloud runs without an infrastructure. We always seem to not talk about the infrastructure, but when you're talking about the cloud, infrastructure does matter. And it matters because you need an infrastructure that is really tuned to the model around the cloud. So with that, what I'll do is I'm going to turn it over to Tom Rosamilia, and he'll talk about why infrastructure matters.
Thank you, Robert. So as Robert said, even in a cloud environment, we haven't figured out how to run software yet without running it on something. And that something is hardware, and it's infrastructure. And it does matter whether you're on-prem or whether you're off-prem. What I want to take you through in the next 15 minutes is really a discussion about how we're repositioning, transforming, redirecting our investment in the hardware infrastructure part of this business to go after these trends that we're seeing around the cloud. But I'm also going to include big data in that, and I'm going to tell you the way we're doing that. Now, infrastructure matters. It matters because you can see the cloud systems opportunity grows by 2017. It matters we're optimizing for big data workloads. I'm going to talk to you about that. You heard that from Bob. You heard that from Ginny. Power8 systems optimize for big data. Providing choice through open standards. We've done this for a long time around software. Now we're doing it around hardware as well. And new capabilities around software-defined storage. Ginny mentioned just Monday I was up in Boston and announced new capabilities around software-defined storage. We'll spend some time on that. System Z, a core franchise for us, but also one where we're expanding into the cloud. We've simplified things through an acquisition we did a year and a half ago. Now we can make customers able to run Linux on Z. You heard it's an essential part of our business without even having Z skills, without having ZOS skills. Building out the Linux Foundation, more applications, more use cases, more combinations with ZOS and Z Linux. On Power Systems, Power 8 is the first system built not only for big data, but for us to go after, and this is the repositioning and redirecting for the scale-out environment. You heard Eric mention we've now added Power into SoftLayer. We'll talk about that. And new investments, $1 billion commitment for Linux on Power, one that we made in the mainframe back in 2001, one that we just made this last year, 2013, for Power. And storage systems. I mentioned software-defined, but I also want to cover flash and virtualization, because these are all key parts of this. Now, we've heard about this dynamic hybrid cloud on the right-hand side of this, and 70%, according to the Gartner data, would say that clients are going after hybrid clouds in the next couple of years. We certainly see this. As you've heard from Ginny and from Robert, it's this combination of systems of record and systems of engagement. And where these things connect, you get great value. People don't want to throw out what they have. They want to leverage what they have. They want to make it available. Enterprise private cloud, we've also done a number of these engagements to help people on their premises to build their own clouds, to make the software-defined environments self-provisioned, self-tuned, highly utilized. The way to save money is drive utilization rates up. So one of the ways we've delivered price performance is by delivering way higher utilization levels. You can see Power 8, Bob mentioned the NoSQL database for Hadoop-like workloads. We see 5x cost advantage in Power 8. System Z, for the right workloads, for the data-intensive workloads, data-serving workloads, it is actually less expensive to run these with multiple virtual machines on Z than it is to run them in the public cloud, and obviously with the highest levels of security out there in the marketplace. So a combination of these, last year we did about 5,000 engagements in the hardware business around this combination of enterprise, private, and dynamic hybrid. Now I want to talk about storage, because this is an essential element of the portfolio, and I'm actually going to start in the middle. This move to flash systems, I think we'll look back on this year in just a couple years. It's not going to take us as long as Cognitive, but the shift to flash, to SSDs, is really significant because right now the economics have changed. People do the price per gigabyte and they say, it's not quite there yet, I'm going to put my special stuff on this. They're not looking at it the right way. You have to look at the price per I.O. per second. How much of it do I actually need? Don't do the apples to oranges comparison. Say, how much of it do I actually need? You can fill these things up. You can deliver performance at 45x. This is a real-life customer example, 45x performance, 45 times. We kill for that. You have to do an awful lot of human tuning to get that kind of performance, if at all possible. They got it just by dropping in flash. It made impossible things now possible. While someone's on the phone, I have information, I can make a next best offer because of flash systems. And huge reduction in floor space. Petabyte on a floor tile, which matters to a lot of people, especially down here in this neighborhood where real estate's expensive. Virtualization. The way to separate and get the most out of your storage is one way is to virtualize, is to say, I don't want to make these hard connections between this server and this storage. I want to be able to fill up that storage just like we've been filling up servers. And I do that by not making a direct connection. I want mobility, and therefore I need virtualization. I want to be able to connect to IBM's storage. I want to be able to connect to lots of people's storage. Virtualization is a key way of doing that. And what I announced on Monday was software-defined storage. 90% savings. How do you do that? Well, one way to do it, as I talked about, utilization. You can drive up utilization. Another way is don't do as much duplication. We have lots of people that create lots of copies of the data to make sure that they have it, make sure it's secure, make sure it's available. We've got technology invented with our research team. As we said, it's the same technology that underlies Watson, that underlines Big Insights, but it gives you the capability to run on commodity-based storage. Let the software handle the recovery of any failures that occur. The software can handle it. I don't need massive reproductions of all the data that's out there. So that's where we get the 90% less cost and infinite scale, as Ginny said. So this thing can really scale. We've seen some tremendous cases from our clients using this technology to get this kind of savings in the storage area. Now, another topic I want to talk about is service providers. We're seeing growth in the service providers, those that don't want to do this themselves, but don't necessarily want to go just to the public cloud. They want to go to a virtual private cloud. They want to go to a service provider to give them the same kind of a capability. And we see this opportunity representing about 49% of my opportunity by 2017. What do I do for the service providers? I do pre-configured offerings for them, tuned for them, priced for them. So it's a pay-as-you-grow model. They want to get started. They want to start small and pay as I grow. So we've changed our offerings, we've changed our configurations, changed our packaging, changed our pricing to allow them to be able to do that both in Z and in power and, in fact, in storage as well, as we'll put storage on the floor. As they fill it up, they pay for it. They don't have to pay for it until they begin to fill it all the way up. Power8 Systems, we actually announced a 65% sustained utilization guarantee, which is huge. The average server utilization in the marketplace is between 10 and 15%. So think of the value people are getting by getting 6 times that amount of utilization on their servers. We did, in 2013, add 21 new service providers in Z, in our mainframe system. One of them was Business Connection. This is a South African-based company that provides services to the rest of Africa, to Namibia, to Tanzania, to Kenya, to serving the underserved or unserved marketplaces around retail, around mining, and around other financial applications. So they've really found a way from South Africa to serve the rest of Africa. So it's part of our Africa initiative as well. Now, Power8. You can actually see a demo of Power8 and the performance of it. It's all the way back in the corner, so you got to go all the way through, make a right at the end, and the Power8 demo is there for you to see. And actually, and I'll tell you why, another reason why it's cool in a minute, but the first reason is about speed. And we've been working with our colleagues in research and with Bob Picciano's team on how fast can we make fast. And what we've gotten this 50x number up to right now is 82 times faster than Intel. 82 times faster for insights for the Hadoop-like workloads. 5x faster with Watson. Watson ran on Power7 initially, Linux on Power7 initially. Right now, today, with the delivery of Power8, it runs 5 times faster, not a couple percent, 5 times faster. We see more than 2x the throughput at 47% lower cost than Intel. And savings in floor space. One server versus 24, huge savings in electricity and in the floor space required for Power8. Power8, as Ginny said, was the first processor designed for big data from the ground up. Took us a couple years to build this system. It is a fantastic system. It's got a superhighway built right into it, and we're taking great advantage of that. Now, we've done this in a way that's open, and you can see the list across the top of Apache, of Linux, of Eclipse, of embracing KVM. OpenStack is one that we're very much embracing. You heard Cloud Foundry is another good example that Robert mentioned. But now we're also going to add to that, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, around OpenPower. But if I look at this, why are we doing this way? Customers want choices. And Linux on Z gave them those choices. And it was a great idea back in 2001 when we made that decision to go do it. And as you can see and you heard, 60% of the capacity, 40% of what we shipped in 2013. 78% of our top 100 System Z customers also have Linux. By the way, that was our initial idea, was they would have both ZOS and Z Linux. Now we actually see the emergence of some customers who only have Linux on their mainframe. So that's a cool reason why we've made it simpler for people. 3 centers of competency, we just opened one yesterday in Africa. Linux on Power, huge change for us, going after the Linux marketplace. We did really well in the Unix marketplace, but the Unix marketplace is in decline. Reposition, redirect the money. We will still support. We'll talk about it this afternoon. We will support those customers forever. But we've redirected some of our monies to say, let's go after the Linux marketplace. We committed $1 billion. We committed to retool our Power8 system for the Linux marketplace. We've done development centers around the world so people can do porting. We've got 800 ISVs already ported to Linux on Power. It's the easiest port in the world. We announced support for KVM so people could go after the industry standards. Now, OpenPower. We could have just done Power8. We could have just done it for the existing marketplace. We broadened it to Linux, and now we broadened it to OpenPower. We had this idea about a year ago. We got together with 4 other companies, and we started the seed of an idea So let's build an open ecosystem around our power processors. Give people an alternative in the marketplace, actually one where they can influence, not just purchase. So we started with a few. We started with Tyann. We started with, obviously, ourselves. We started with NVIDIA. We started with Mellanox. And we started with Google, each playing a different role, but each wanting to invest their time. We formed this foundation actually in December with the first five. I call them the Fabulous Five because they had the idea to come together and build this next generation of internet data center at Google's direction. As of today, we're up to 31 members. The number keeps changing. We added one yesterday. I will tell you, 9 of these members are in our Greater China group. So as we talk about what kind of progress we're making in China, 9 of these members are there. And I think that's an important element here. But you can see all the people that are embracing this idea around open power. And I will tell you that we've got 100 people knocking at the door. Now, I don't know that they'll all come in. Some of them are kicking the tires to understand what would this be like. But we're interested in having people come who bring IP, who bring ideas, want to contribute and build out this alternative system. So the fantastic thing that you're going to see in the demo room is actually a system not built by us. It's PowerAid based, but it's built by a Tyann motherboard that they demonstrated in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. A week later, we got to see Google demonstrate a Google-built PowerAid based system, open power system. So This combination of it's not just us. There's a lot of people on that last list that can go out there and build, and we're willing to license in an ARM-like model our power-based processors and let them contribute their IP and use it. And you can see the quote here from Google as to what their intentions are. They made those intentions very clear at one of our conferences. You can also see the excitement around NVIDIA and what kind of graphic process units we can connect to these to get acceleration. The important thing here is you'll see this dramatic acceleration, and you'll see that in the demo as well. So it's not just about us. It's about the ecosystem of partners as well. Now, that's what we're doing to retool, to reinvest, to redirect, to transform our servers around System Z, around power, and around storage. But this is part of a big play for IBM. This is part of the cloud play for IBM. You can see $7 billion invested, 1,500 patents Eric quoted earlier. About a third of those are hardware-based patents. We've done 5,000 engagements, as I said, in STG, 100-plus leading SaaS products, as Robert mentioned, acquired 15 companies along the way. SoftLayer being, a key one. And by the way, this hybrid linkage of putting power within SoftLayer, but also connecting on these hybrid clouds to say I want to be able to use SoftLayer as a system of engagement and connect to my back-end system of record is also a fantastic play for us. And so that's part of our redirection of not just this STG business, the hardware business, but also how we're doing this together as a team. And in summary, what I want you all to understand is that cloud is changing the way enterprises work. Actually, it's changing the way enterprises acquire. A few years ago, cloud was all about saving money. I had a good discussion with a couple of you in the room about a year ago, really started to change the tone. It wasn't about saving money. It was about speed. Robert mentioned this. I want to be up and running quickly. I want to roll this out to the world quickly. That's what it's about. It's about the speed that I'm able to get to in a cloud-based or as a service-based environment. It's the integration of systems of record and systems of engagement. We've all talked about how that integration is critical for us, this point of intersection, so that people can get to their back-end system. An example of this, I've got customers now, banking customers on Z, more than half of their applications, more than half of their transactions are driven from a mobile device. Think about it. We still get some hard copy checks as much as we all wish we didn't. The way that we do it most days is you put them in a drawer, and you wait until you get 6 or 7 of them, you take them to the bank, and you do a deposit. That's called batch processing. Today, what we do is we take a picture of each one and we send it to the bank one at a time, right? That's 6, 7 different transactions. So there's many more transactions happening in the banking industry because of cloud, right? It is actually driving workload onto our mainframe platform. And lastly, we've built the most complete cloud portfolio. Hopefully, you've seen that from a combination of what Eric showed you, what Robert showed you, and what I've showed you this morning. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your time on this topic around cloud processing, okay, for IBM.